The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
They say I'm not allowed to run. I don't know what that's all about, but that's okay. He said 4 more years. Gives you the new hat. We have 4 more years. 2020. We have all sorts of... Well, you know what? We have 3 years... and 2 months to go. And you know what that is in Trump time? 3 years and 2 months is called eternity. We have a long time. Our country's become so strong in such a 10 months. Think of it. It's not even a year. It's like if we keep going like this, I don't know if we can do that. But if we keep going like this, there'll be nothing ever in history like it. Already, they are saying better than Lincoln, better than Washington, better than anybody. The best 10 months ever in the history of the presidency. In 10 months, I ended 8 wars, including Kosovo, Serbia, Pakistan and India. They were going at it. Israel and Iran, Egypt and Ethiopia. You didn't know about that. Armenia and Azerbaijan. And I hate to say this, one named Cambodia, Thailand, and it started up today. Tomorrow, I'll have to make a phone call, and I think they'll get it. Who else could say, I'm going to make a phone call and stop a war of 2 very powerful countries, Thailand and Cambodia? They're going at it again. But I'll do it.
So much pride, so much vanity. He did bring through, God used him to save America temporarily from that incredible affliction. But you think about Lincoln and Washington, and they gave credit to God. They had a day of fasting, a day of thanksgiving and prayer. And all President Trump can talk about is himself, the arrogance in those clips. They're saying better than Lincoln, better than Washington, the best 10 months ever in the history of the presidency. Who else could get on the phone and bring peace? He's basically saying. What happened to the July 13th, 2024 Donald Trump? The Trump who was a little bit humbled by nearly losing his life, by God saving him miraculously. That didn't last very long, did it? Now, he has a lot of leadership qualities that God has used to save America temporarily. But again, for what purpose? It's just temporary. There's no humility. There's no repentance in there. And that means that it's not going to last. God's saving America for this brief moment to give people more time to repent and to have humility. But this Jeroboam type figure isn't pointing people to God, like Mr. Fleury has said. He's pointing people to himself. Notice this next clip. This is from his interview with Politico, and he's commenting on the incredible job he's doing on the economy. Clip 4.
But I do want to talk about the economy, sir, here at home. And I wonder what grade you would give.
A plus.
A plus.
Yeah, A plus, 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 plus.
Again, just a lot of arrogance and vanity. He has fixed some things, but it was so bad, a lot of it wasn't hard to do. Just start undoing what Joe Biden was doing. And there's no indication yet that a lot of the things he's doing will work in the long term. But to say A plus, 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 I think it's 5. 5 pluses. Now again, this is man's world. This is man's best system, is looking at, when we make this point often on this show, you can't pick one of these sides and say they're the solution. Man is not turning to God for the answers. Each side thinks they have the solution. Joe Biden, the Obama administration, that was sore affliction. But again, you look back at a lot of what Biden dealt with was coming off of the COVID lockdowns and who was in charge that allowed the COVID lockdowns, who sent out the first round of stimulus checks. Now, Biden didn't make things any better. He brought in the socialist system, handing out more free money, all of these projects that went to these third-party contractors to benefit them, and it's billions of dollars for these EV stations, and nothing gets built. Companies are pulling back on producing these electric vehicles because the government subsidy is gone. But then again, you look at just how much celebrating there is in this Trump administration. Here's another clip. This is from CNN commenting on how great the stock market is doing right now. Clip two.
Why? Explain why the stock market cares so much about this Fed decision.
Yeah, well, Kate, look, all Fed decisions are important. Interest rate cuts in particular, they can act as rocket fuel for the stock market for a few different reasons, right? I mean, first off, it encourages more spending from consumers, also from businesses. It can boost confidence among CEOs and consumers alike, and also make it easier, cheaper to repay debt and help companies and consumers avoid falling into financial trouble. And the lower that interest rates go, it means less competition that the stock market faces from the normally boring bond market. And look, at the end of the day, Kate, despite all the turmoil this year, the trade war, uncertainty over the Fed, it's been a blockbuster year for the stock market, double-digit returns for the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ as well.
If you'll recall, the Biden administration was doing the same thing, and the stock market was improving. Through all of that inflation, these companies benefit from higher prices because people still have to pay for these goods. And these companies were raking it in, especially, you know, these big tech companies. So the stock market is doing great, and the Biden administration is bragging all about that. But then it's, well, what about the people that aren't invested in the stock market? What about all of those individuals where, you know, their day-to-day worries are food and housing or rent, transportation? And a lot of this stock market, it's so heavily just reliant on these tech companies. It's not like, you know, the price of materials are coming down and it's Home Depot is just surging and right or carrying the economy. It's these tech companies that really don't, you know, offer a lot to the average consumer. The AI company isn't making your life easier. The price, it's not bringing the price of things down. The more money they make, you know, that's not trickling down to the average consumer. But again, Biden bragged about the same thing. And here's the Trump administration bragging about it as well. And prices of things have come down. But you look at just how much people are struggling. We've commented on this show about the American dream, and that really is just totally out of reach for most people. I watched a video that was talking about how insane car payments have gotten over the past few years. They're talking about car loans that are 7 to 10 years long because the approach is, and they know they've done all of the studies on the psychology of getting people to buy cars, and they've turned a car into this, well, it's your image, it's your personality. You have to have that vehicle. And basically, well, let's just find what works within your monthly budget. So I went into this video thinking like $300-$400 a month. There are people that are paying $1,200-$1,300 a month to have their dream car. And then this video says, once you do that, it's not just the car loan that's 7 or 8 years, but it's the insurance to cover that. It's maintaining these higher tech vehicles. And young people just get caught in this debt trap where immediately the car loses its value and you're in negative equity. You can't sell it. So then the car companies come along. It's like, well, here's another car. Just get a new one and just roll that debt over. And you're just trapped in this terrible cycle. Home prices rising. The quality of new homes is going down. People are just building more cheaply. There's the college debt crisis that we talked about a couple weeks ago. All of these buy now, pay later schemes. There was another report that was just commenting on how the economy now is built to take care of homes where they're two-income households. So the husband and wife have to work in order to basically be middle class in the United States now. And he's saying that's just not the way we used to measure anything. Now that brings in all of these other additional costs, like childcare. And you see, just on a fundamental level, all of these things that are falling apart. You can't solve these problems. You have to look to God. You have to turn to God. I think it was, I can't remember the politician a few years ago. Maybe he was in the running in 2015 for the Republican, maybe it's Ben Carson or Herman Cain, but he said, well, why don't we just implement tithing? Let's bring that back. It's a really simple thing. We can throw out the whole tax code that nobody understands except a few lawyers, and let's just tithe. And people just laugh and scoff at those sorts of solutions, those really simple solutions. And then you try it and you do it and you see, well, that works. That proves that God's way is the right way. This article from the Wall Street Journal, The Great American Baby Shortage, they talk about how marriage is declining and these single income households can't afford to function. So again, there is the ideal way is just the single income household with a married man and woman and the man works. But this whole economy has shifted towards, again, undoing those traditional God-ordained roles within the family. They say with marriage on the decline, U.S. fertility has slipped well below the replacement rate. This country is disappearing. Again, there's just so much politics involved in this. And all of these solutions, people scream that they have the solution to this. And no one is turning to God. This is a clip from a Democrat governor in Kentucky, Governor Beshear, and he was talking about how this is all Donald Trump's fault. All of the trouble that we have today is because of President Trump, as if we had everything figured out pre-2016. This is clip three.
But if you give President Trump an F, he is going to tell you then that F is for former, as in the former president, President Biden. He is blaming the economy on that president. Does the former administration deserve at least some of the criticism?
Well, the former administration was attempting to build the economy of tomorrow, investing in really important industries like EVs, in chips, in areas for our national security that we've got to catch up with the rest of the world.
Were they successful at that, Governor?
What our families have said, that the Biden administration was building the economy of tomorrow, focused on EVs, chips, and other areas that we have to catch up in for our own national security. But our families were saying we need the economy of right now. Now, wages were catching up to inflation, and this president, President Trump, was going to inherit a good, healthy economy. But the day he walked out there with that big tariff board changed everything, made life harder for families he promised he'd make it easier for. And now the price of everything so much higher solely because of this president.
Again, just so much pride and arrogance on both sides. Again, what he's saying there isn't true. The prices are actually coming down, but fundamentally, this country is on a crash course. You can't operate with the amount of debt that the United States has. But on both sides, well, if we could just, if we have total control, we can run this. And it's why the trumpet just has to be above politics. You can't pick a side here and say, well, just do it this way or do it that way, and this will bring solutions. This is man's system apart from God. It's complicated. It's exhausting. It's hard to watch every single day. But what a relief it is to read the trumpet, to read church literature, to get into the Bible and just see how simple and plain God's way is. I mentioned that article that Mr. Fleury wrote in the recent trumpet, America at the Crossroads, a pivotal article, a great article that you need to read if you haven't. He talks about this way of Jeroboam. He talks about the way that President Trump is leading this nation. He says, what did God do about that affliction? This is referencing 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. This is a prophecy of an end-time leader of America whom God uses to stop that affliction. As I explain in my book, America Under Attack, this leader is President Donald Trump. And Mr. Fleury has been talking about this way of Jeroboam for decades now. We have this book, The Former Prophets. Chapter 9 is all about this individual. Request this book if you haven't already, or you could just go online and read chapter 9. And Mr. Fleury's talked about Amos 7 for 30 or 40 years. I think it was the second booklet that he wrote after coming out of the WCG, The Lion Has Roared. In this article, he continues, President Trump talks about saving America, but it is not him saving this country, but God by the hand of this man. In many ways, the affliction caused by previous administrations has been checked. However, the curses on America continue. You'd think coming through all of what has happened the last 10 years, the amount of persecution that he's endured, a bullet scraping the skin off of his ear, you'd think he would be a little bit more like Abraham Lincoln or George Washington and just have a little bit more humility to say, I don't know what I'm doing. That could have been the end of my life. Mr. Fleury says, the hatred, division, and violence that Satan the devil is provoking and fomenting are still boiling, and shocks like Charlie Kirk's assassination in Utah show they are growing worse. He says President Trump at Kirk's memorial spoke at Kirk's memorial, but he didn't say much about religion. He has spent his entire life relying on his own abilities. Even amid these terrible curses, this has not changed. Yet he also sees that people yearn for religion. This is why he gathers religious leaders around him. This is going to lead to the fulfillment of a critical prophecy in Amos 7 that I have explained for years. President Trump was prophesied to lead a religious resurgence, but instead of leading people to God, he is causing them to look to him. The way of Jeroboam, not pointing people to God, not wanting to lose his followers, doing what he can to keep them, saying what needs to be said, surrounding him by the people that will get him more popularity. But again, no mention of God. As Mr. Fleury points out in that article, he brings up some old quotes from President Trump about repentance and about forgiveness and involving God in that process. It's this way of Jeroboam, and it's filled with pride. And it talks about the Bible. And again, I see the point of, well, the media won't give him any credit for what he's fighting against. But again, if you're doing a good thing, like what Proverbs 27 says, I have it here in my notes, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth. If you're really doing a great thing, that great thing will speak for itself. There's so many basic verses in the Bible about humility and pride. You can't talk about God and religion and ignore these verses. Again, a lot of these verses, they're fundamental. You read them to your children to help them to not be prideful, to not be vain and arrogant. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says that Satan works in the children of disobedience. Isaiah 3 talks about childish leadership. And there's a lot of arrogance. There's a lot of vanity. There's a lot of, well, look how great this thing is that I did. And you have to tell a little kid, well, if you really did a great thing, let someone else talk to you about it. But don't go bragging and boasting about just doing what you're supposed to do. Proverbs 3 and verse 34, this is quoted in several places in the New Testament. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The more pride and arrogant you are, the further removed you are from God. He resists the proud. He doesn't want to be around that spirit and that attitude. Proverbs 16, verse 18, a classic. Pride goes before destruction. Pride before the fall. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18, verse 13. The fear of the eternal is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. God hates that attitude. He wants people to look to him. He has the solution to these problems. Only God can bring peace. No man can just get on the phone and change human nature. Proverbs 16, verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Eternal. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 11, 2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. If you want to be wise, have humility. Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Is this nation really seeking after God? Or is it just those empty platitudes? Is it fake religion? Luke 18 and verse 14, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You can see this country just right on the precipice of failure, of being crushed because of that haughty and vain spirit on both sides. Mr. Fleury says in that article, America at the Crossroads, this same sin is being committed today. He's talking about Jeroboam creating this, the ancient Jeroboam creating this false religion and the way of Jeroboam, and how every king in Israel followed the way of Jeroboam and was turning people away from the house of David, away from God. This same sin is being committed today, Mr. Fleury says. The modern-day Jeroboam fights for many good causes, but in the process, he gets people to look to him as the solution, not the omnipotent, all-powerful God. This is going to end the same way it did anciently. So much pride and so much arrogance. You can see it in really every aspect of leadership in our nation. Victor Davis Hanson, he was probably quoting someone else, but just talked about this toxic brew of ignorance and arrogance. And the more arrogant we become, the more ignorant we are. And the more ignorant we are, the more arrogant we get. And it's just this vicious cycle, and it keeps getting worse and worse until the nation just completely crumbles. And some things will work for a little while. Maybe there's a temporary boom. But again, look at the fundamentals. Is this nation repenting? Again, that Trumpet article, I don't have it with me, but it has an article about what is real repentance. It's not just, you know, some sappy thing, feeling sad for a while. It's not just surviving being shot in the face and talking about God for a couple of days. It's a change in direction. And right from the start of this administration, Mike Pence misquoted 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 and left out that phrase about repentance, about the nation turning from its wicked ways. Look how arrogant and prideful this administration is in dealing with Europe. They're so sure they have the answer. And in the end, it's dead wrong. It leads to this incredible betrayal. Now, this story has been, Mr. Fleury covered it in the programs earlier this week. It's been in the news a lot. The EU, it's like for years, they do push at the United States. It does cheat the system. It fines U.S. companies. The big thing that brought this on was they just fined Elon Musk $140 million. And for decades, as Mr. Fleury has said, Germany has tried to undermine NATO because NATO holds it back. And here you've got now the president of the United States saying, "Why we don't need to be a part of NATO. Germany, you go ahead and you lead." And they, the ironic part about it is they talk about, well, how mean Germany and the EU is to the United States. And okay, well, they're an enemy when it comes to that aspect of things. And then the solution is, well, we won't protect you. We trust that you can just have your own military and you can be a superpower. And we'll get along perfectly. This soft war has been going on for decades of Germany conquering Europe, battling the United States. Through it all, Europe, though, has been relatively weak. But going right back to the fall of the Berlin Wall, like Mr. Fleury has said, Germany has been ambitious. Germany, through the euro, has taken over Europe. That ambitious spirit to rule never changed. Mr. Fleury says that that Balkan war, where they got NATO to bomb, I can't remember all the details. You can read about it in Germany's conquest of the Balkans. But Germany got involved there. And that, Mr. Fleury said, that was the start of World War III. Now, NATO isn't the perfect solution, but it does at least fulfill the goal of keeping Germany down because it's tethered to a more powerful United States. But there's a lot of arrogance right now that says, we don't need that. We don't need that anymore. The old joke of keeping the Americans in, Germany down, and the Russians out. Well, that's a pretty haughty spirit to just think, well, this is the way it's been for, I can't remember the exact date of NATO, but 70, 80 years, at least since, I think, the Cold War era. And then to just come in and say, well, it has brought a little bit of peace for all these decades, but we have a better way to do it. Michael Schellenberger, he's a pretty prominent conservative. Well, he used to be pretty left-wing, but he came around just because of how radical the Obama administration was. He writes, Europe is in direct violation of the NATO treaty. Americans signed up to protect free democracies, not authoritarian censorship states. I will travel to Europe next week to directly warn EU lawmakers that the EU Commission is putting their security and lives in danger. Now, they're right about a lot of things, about how manipulative the EU is and the censorship regimes. But is the solution now to just unchain Europe, to let them go it alone? Again, just a bit of historical perspective would be just sounding the alarm bells. This is not good. Why would we want this regime that they're warning about? Well, we don't want to have anything to do with them because they're not really a democracy. So just let them go. Let them run free. You would think the idea would be, well, don't give them more power. Let's stay involved over here. We can try to, again, this is man's way of the balance of powers. But look how complicated, again, things are when you're not relying on God. Trump's trying to use NATO as leverage to get Europe to back off on a lot of these crazy decisions. But like Mr. Fleury said, Germany, I'll read the quote for you in a little bit. But Germany has tried to undermine NATO for decades because of what Lord Ismay said. It's to keep Germany down. Schellenberger says most of the politicians and news media in Europe have been lying to their citizens for decades. They've said American commitment to Europe is unconditional and permanent. It's not. We have our limits. Europeans might pay attention to this. The EU, like I said, that fine on Elon Musk has brought on a lot of this. And they are provoking the United States. They've been doing that for decades. They push for a reason. And you look at this and wonder, well, do they want this break? They want to cause this friction, and Trump hasn't helped. They don't want to be shackled by the United States anymore. This is the Deputy Secretary of State, Christopher Landau. He said, what's even worse is that the U.S. is in a military alliance with the very countries attacking us via the EU. As J.D. Vance noted earlier this year, this contradiction cannot continue. The nations of Europe cannot look to the U.S. for their own security. At the same time, they affirmatively undermine the security of the U.S. itself through the unelected, undemocratic, and unrepresentative EU. This fine is just the tip of the iceberg. As I mentioned to every European leader I just met at the NATO ministerial long thing, the EU's support of the communist and anti-American regime in Cuba is another striking example of the EU affirmatively undermining U.S. security, while the vast majority of its member states look to the U.S. for their own security through NATO. So they're saying, why would we protect enemy nations? And there is a point to a lot of that. But look at what's been set up. We've had relative peace the past 70, 80 years. And we want to fight against it. And the solution for them talking about how crazy the EU is, well, just give it more power. Cut them off. Let them run their own show. Again, the goal here isn't to make money. That's not the goal of NATO. The goal was to keep Germany from becoming a superpower. This other account on Twitter that has millions of followers said, make Europe worth defending again. And then Elon Musk responded, what exactly are we defending Europe from? It isn't totally clear. David Sachs, a prominent investor, said, Europe must defend free speech or we don't defend Europe. Representative Thomas Massey said, NATO is a Cold War relic. The United States should withdraw from NATO and use that money to defend our country, not socialist countries. Today, I introduced H.R. 6508 to end our NATO membership. It's not like the United States, in some aspects of it, they are contributing to NATO, but this is just defense spending. As a member of NATO, the United States spends $1 trillion on its defense budget. And as a percentage of its GDP, it's higher than the other nations in Europe. And that's what Trump was always trying to get the Europeans to do. We'll spend more. Have your fair share. But again, what's the payoff there? Was it that big of a deal to have the United States in total control? To have these nations pretty much subservient in a lot of ways at the mercy of the United States? Schellenberger says America's relationship with Europe could change faster than people realize. I meant to put a montage together of all of those Mr. Armstrong clips about how quickly this would happen. And the EU is going to be pared down. It's going to be 10 nations or 10 kings in that Holy Roman Empire that are ruling. It will be restructured. And I think Germany and a lot of them will see that Brussels or the EU, that way isn't going to do it for us. Maybe we'll help the United States out. We'll look like we're complying. And we'll come up with this new system because President Trump, he wants us to have a strong man. He wants us to have a strong leader. Again, there's a lot that America is doing that it shouldn't be, sharing weapons with our World War II foes. Storing nuclear weapons in Germany, giving them planes that are equipped to handle those nuclear weapons. NATO certainly could be structured differently, but I mean, just some strong historical convictions would lead you to be very careful about undoing these things, because at least the United States is there as this firewall to get in the way. Is unchaining Europe really the solution? And Bible prophecy says it's not. There will be a massive betrayal, and it will shock the United States of America. Mr. Gerald Fleury in the September 2018 trumpet said, Germany and Russia's secret war against America. What is not as obvious is the fact that Germany also wants to eliminate NATO. Why? This was at the time when President Trump was trying to get these nations to pay up more, to contribute. Many elite Germans feel their nation has now gotten all it can from the U.S. and they are ready to move on. Some powerful Germans today are thinking more and more about the Holy Roman Empire, and they want modern Germany to assume more power of its own in the spirit of that empire. They want to establish Europe as a mighty German-led superpower. These Germans know that NATO is an obstacle to their goal. Back when NATO was first founded, and this is how we have to view this with just the last century of history. The Germans know that NATO is an obstacle to their goal. Well, we should probably try to keep that obstacle there as long as we can, because look back at what they did in World War I and World War II. Back when NATO was first founded, its first Secretary General, Hastings Ismay, explained its main purpose: keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. It's just an old joke, like that commentator said. The notion of keeping the Germans down directly contradicts the imperialistic ambitions that are growing more intense among many elite Germans today. But Bible prophecies about the next resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire show that Germany will soon be spending substantially more on its military, and not within any kind of U.S.-led framework. So much fulfilled prophecy. Even just in the span of that quote, 2018 to 2025, you look back and that It wasn't this massive increase over those years. But you get to February of 2025 after that meeting with Zelensky in the Oval Office and all of Europe panicking, and they're saying it was €1 trillion. They came out of that saying, we're going to commit €1 trillion to defense. That's incredible. And not within any kind of U.S.-led framework. The Guardian editorial board had an article titled, The Guardian View on Trump and Europe, More an Abusive Relationship Than an Alliance. The White House is aggressively seeking to weaken and dominate the United States' traditional allies. European leaders must learn to fight back. It's a war. It's a war that Europe sees. It's not a war that the United States sees. Germany is maneuvering. They have been for the last, well, since the end of World War II. But especially since the death of Mr. Armstrong and the fall of the Berlin Wall, it's a complicated thing to manage. NATO is not the solution. It's not the answer to all of these problems. But again, you just look at the past few decades, and to some extent, it did work. Let's respect that organization a little bit, because the people that set it up for a reason. Now, like I've said, without Bible prophecy, you just have a really narrow perspective. You don't see the big picture. You don't see where it's leading. There isn't a solution long-term to this problem apart from turning to God. It's just like Trump solving the war between Thailand and Cambodia. I think that's what it was. Oh, well, they're fighting again. I'll get back on the phone and I'll solve that crisis. Looking at Europe, on one hand, we're upset with Germany for taking advantage of America. And on the other hand, we're saying, you go ahead and build your own army because we're allies. We totally get along. And isn't that just man's way of reasoning? You're an ocean away. It's not our problem. Handle it yourself. Again, we have to look at the full history of this nation. This is a clip from A Key of David that Mr. Gerald Fleury filmed back in 2013. It's titled Europe's Dirty Secret, and he talks about the nuclear weapons that we have stored there. But the point he makes at the end is we just trust so much in ourselves and in other nations, and we don't look to God for the answer to these problems. This is clip 6.
When we talk about nuclear bombs and nations that have nuclear bombs, we, in Europe anyhow, we talk about Britain and France. But there are other nations, 6 other nations, that have nuclear bombs that were, they're actually technically belong to America. 6 other nations. Now, those arrangements and agreements were made during the Cold War that we had with Russia, but are those bombs still necessary today? Do we feel like we need to have all of those bombs in Europe in certain nations that have been our enemy nations in the past? There are 350 thermonuclear bombs in Europe in those 6 nations that belong to the United States of America. Now, if you take 350 nuclear bombs, you could destroy the whole world with that many bombs. And yes, yet that is how many we have given to these 6 different nations. And the question is, does the United States really have control over those bombs? And I think we need to ponder that some of those nations that have those bombs were our worst enemies in World War II. So we have, the U.S. is a member of NATO, and so we have, we're allied with the European nations, NATO and Europe together, protecting themselves from mostly, I think, from the Soviet Union, but now there are more and more enemies coming onto the world scene. But if you think about the potential debacle that is here, it's just mind-staggering. that those weapons could be turned on us. There's not a thing in the world to stand in the way of those nations just taking over those bombs and using them in whichever area they want to use them in. Now, this is something that is downright frightening if you think about it for very long. And I'll tell you what the U.S. is doing is absolutely condemned by the Bible, because it's a matter of trusting in others rather than trusting in God.
It's downright frightening. Read Ezekiel 23. And we're at the point where you look at the way the Trump administration functions, I wouldn't be surprised if something comes up like, yeah, well, you go, we'll work out a deal. We'll come to an agreement. And you could see Germany saying, hey, I can see your point. They're finally getting what they want. NATO's being erased, and they look like they're the good guys in all of it. And hey, you know, let's end NATO, but we got to have something in return. You've got a couple hundred nukes over here in the EU. Just give those to us, and then we'll be right up there as a superpower, and we can confront Russia for you. We can confront China for you. And you could see Trump just saying, yeah, that's not, you're our allies, we're close, even though you're doing all of these things to attack us and undermine us. I don't know, that's just me speculating, but you look at some of these shameful deals, it's terrifying. Like Mr. Fleury says, they're downright frightening when you're reliant on men to bring peace. It's downright frightening. And you've got to look for answers. You've got to get to the Trumpet magazine. Well, just coming along the lines of this same theme of having to rely on God in every aspect of your life. We had some stories piling up about just young people and education, and how many young people are just really being sacrificed to technology. And a lot of parents who are afraid to stand up to them. Just a total loss of control in the home. And people that won't, again, just rely on God. If this is what God says to do, if this is the law, just trust that God will work out those minor inconveniences from things like getting rid of, taking the smartphone away from the teenager. In the Principles of Living class, we quote a lot from Mr. Armstrong's early articles about education, because he was right about education. He was warning about education in the 1930s and 1940s. There's a lot of people today that say, well, the solution in education is, well, let's just get back to the old way of doing things, like in the 20s and 30s. Mr. Armstrong was looking at education at that time and saying, this is the slippery slope. We've got evolution is now entrenched. He's talking about the early 20th century. And this will lead to what we have today. Herbert Armstrong was right about education. And the conservatives today, the solution is, well, let's just go back to the old way of doing things. And they're so reliant on the Greek scholars and quoting all of these secular sources and not turning to God, not bringing God into the picture. Again, that was Mr. Armstrong saw that. God revealed that to see the path that education was on. In the case of the use of technology, you just look at how much of our education has just been handed over to smartphones, to the laptops, to AI. And in these articles that I'll go through, I don't have a ton of time left, just talk about how this is, we're sacrificing our children, basically. This might seem like an easy thing. It might seem like, oh, it's a good thing for the kids. But a lot of these articles bring out, this is like the worst thing you could do for your children. All of these terrible stories about young people being left alone with technology. That shooter in Utah that shot Charlie Kirk, pretty conservative family, but he was left alone for years and years in his room with a computer. There's this story, I think Mr. Palmer covered it in the morning brief yesterday, about this teenager who was extorted, or sextorted is the word, you know, tricked into sending these sexual images and then exploited. And this teenager ended up committing suicide But the point in the article, when you read between the lines, it's this devastating story. But the other devastating part of it is this young teenager was just left to himself with his smartphone. No parameters, no control, unbridled use of this technology. And Royal Vision magazine, if you haven't subscribed to that, it's like the Christian Living magazine that we produce. We have the Trumpet magazine. You can get a free subscription to the Royal Vision as well. This article in particular is awesome. It's How to Train a King, and your children are royalty. You're raising up teachers, kings, and priests. And there's an article in there titled Protect Your Child's Mind. It's by Mr. Fred Dadalow. He says, in any war, including our personal war against immoral influences, you can know the enemy and how he operates, but still be fooled by propaganda. The devil is the most cunning being ever. He disguises his ulterior motives in ways that sometimes appear or sound righteous. He is a master of deception, and those who are deceived don't know they are deceived. We have to be more active than the devil is. He uses any tool he can to get to human beings. Mr. Dadalow says, if you do let your children watch TV, you should watch it with them whenever possible. Even in sanitized shows, watch for rebellion, disrespect for authority, immorality, cruelty, intolerance, lying, cheating, rudeness, displays of vanity, and so forth. That way you can offset any bad effects by teaching them what is unacceptable behavior. If you find that you have to speak so much that you can't enjoy the program, then don't expose your children to it. I'm just talking about, I think a lot of times the little kids shows are the worst ones. We were having a movie night the other night. I wanted to find a fun show for the kids. And I went through three or four movies, and about 3 or 4 minutes into each of them, like he says there, I was just having to explain too much. You know, it's one thing if the kid is misbehaving and the movie is about him learning that lesson and being told that what he did was wrong. It's another thing when the kids just completely misbehave and that's never addressed or brought up. Because then as the parent, you've got to keep doing it and you spend the whole time saying it and just turn it off. There have been times with my boys like, well, we're just going to watch a Churchill documentary. And they learn to enjoy that sort of content. But again, it's this point about how active you have to be because of how active the devil is. This article in the Free Press by Jonathan Haidt, it's titled The Devil's Plan to Ruin the Next Generation. He writes, earlier this year, someone started a viral trend of asking ChatGPT this question. If you were the devil, how would you destroy the next generation without them even knowing it? It sounds a lot like that Paul Harvey video we've played before. Chat's responses were profound and unsettling. It's just weird how people interact with these computers. Chat's responses were profound and unsettling. It said, I wouldn't come with violence, I'd come with convenience. I'd keep them busy, always distracted. I'd watch their minds rot slowly, sweetly, silently. And the best part is they'd never know it was me. They'd call it freedom. That is the devil talking. It's terrifying. This author says, as a social psychologist who has been trying since 2015 to figure out what on earth was happening to Gen Z, I was stunned. Why? Because what the AI proposed doing is pretty much what technology seems to be doing to children today. It seems to be saying, if the devil wanted to destroy a generation, he could just give them all smartphones. And you see Mr. Fleury's directive in saying we don't need these at our schools. Well ahead of the rest of these schools and institutes coming around and saying get rid of them. That's like the point I was making earlier. We just have to trust God. There's a lot of people that will say, well, I can't navigate, I can't get around, or I can't do this. Or how will I know where my kid is 24/7? Even though the society functioned just fine before 2007 without these things, but in just that little area, just this is a bad thing, get rid of it, and trust God to take care of those things. And you'll learn a lot along the way. We have been able to drive without GPSs And there are a lot of dumb phones that also have GPSs anyway. But this is so controversial in homes. There are articles about parents just cold turkey taking it away, and it's chaos, it's rebellion. And it's another curse. It's Isaiah 3, 2 Timothy 3, where these parents have totally lost control of their children, lost control of their home. These sorts of stories make you very thankful for God's government, make you thankful for the Royal Vision and the Trumpet Magazine. Another article from the Free Press titled, "My Smartphone Was Ruining My Life, So I Quit." This girl talks about how she was given one as a 14-year-old, and her life revolved around that phone. She didn't know how to function without it. But she goes on and just says, it's possible. You can manage. You can get away. And she said for a while she just didn't know what to do. She had to relearn how to think. In that Royal Vision article, Mr. Dedalus says, "A vital strategy for surviving this war, then, is to guard your mind. The more you allow Satan to engage you on that battlefield, the weaker you will become, the more susceptible to his wiles. He will fool you into thinking you're strong enough to handle some wrong thinking, but you cannot entertain evil thoughts in moderation. The key is to immediately reject all wrong thoughts." He goes on and gives some really practical information and advice about just family time and teaching children. Instead of plopping yourself down in front of the television, use your leisure time to build your mind, filling it with good things that will provide ammunition in this war. Read a good book, exercise to stay fit, take a class to learn about something. Update your knowledge and skills to be a more valuable employee. Play games with your children, spend time with them. He's just talking about getting away from the technology. Fix things around the house and do it as a family. Do some gardening or landscaping. Enjoy some fresh air and sunshine. Develop a hobby. Visit the sick. Write letters. Cheer someone up with a phone call. Volunteer. You will be happier, and so will your children. Just spending some family time. I was corrected about some examples just recently. I mean, you get home, it's easy. You're tired. It's easy to flip on the TV or to put on a movie. You have to have balance in all of those things. There's nothing wrong with watching a good movie once in a while. But I was thinking about just, well, what did people do before the technology? And Churchill has some great examples. We know a lot about his childhood. And for a few years, I've just been meaning to, well, let's just read what Churchill read as a kid. And one of those things was, I think his name is Thomas Macaulay, The Lays of Ancient Rome. This is really cool poetry about Rome, and one of them is titled Horatius. And again, as a parent, you've got to learn the backstory and you want to explain it to your kids, but boy, that just helped me get an education about something. It helped me as a teacher and as a father to have to explain something to the boys as I was reading it to them. But they had a lot of fun. We just spent the last two nights. This was the fun activity, was reading this poetry that Churchill would have read. And I felt really corrected by that. I felt like I had just opened up this portal into this old world that I hadn't been exposed to. And there were all sorts of really neat lessons to learn from it. One of those that's really quotable in that poem, "To every man upon this earth, death cometh soon or late. And how can man die better than facing fearful odds? For the ashes of his fathers and the temples of his gods." Talking about, again, a good principle of standing up for your nation, standing up for your family, fighting to the death if you have to. Get into some of those pieces of literature like that. There's a lot of scenes in older movies. You see families reading together. You see them working together. And that helps everybody fulfill their roles even better within the household. I'll just conclude. Well, I don't have time to get into it. It's another article that you could read if you wanted to. It's from the Free Press. "We gave students laptops and took away their brains." And just talks about how students are just getting less and less smart the more we have them relying on smartphones and artificial intelligence and on computers and on the internet. And just We're getting so far removed from the fundamentals and the basics. Again, if you haven't, request a free subscription to the Royal Vision. It's filled with invaluable information. You can request a free copy of Education with Vision. Of course, subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine. That is all that I have time for on today's program. Thank you so much for joining us on the Trumpet Daily, and we'll see you again tomorrow.